All right, so we've all been seeing a lot about these strikes in the news lately, and it seems like strike response teams are becoming, more and more common.
Yeah, it's definitely a trend.
Yeah, and so we thought we'd take a deep dive into, what they are, how they're formed, how they operate.
Right, like the whole picture.
Yeah, exactly. All the behind the scenes stuff.
And, strikes are nothing new.
Right, they've been around forever.
But it seems like the way they're being managed is changing.
Yeah, for sure. And from the research we've been doing, it seems like SRTs are playing a bigger role in all of that.
Absolutely. And I think that's partly because, strikes are becoming more complex.
In what way?
Well, in the past, it was often, just about workers walking off the job.
Right.
But now it's, it can be much more than that.
Like what kind of stuff?
Well, you've got things like social media campaigns, online organizing, sophisticated PR strategies.
Right, it's not just about picket lines anymore.
Exactly. And I think that's where SRTs come in.
So it's not just about, breaking up
No,
protests.
not at all. It's much more nuanced than that.
So then what is it about?
Well, it's about managing the whole situation,
Yeah.
minimizing disruptions, making sure things don't spiral out of control.
And protecting people,
Of
right?
course, yeah, both the strikers and the non-strikers and the general public.
So like, keeping everyone safe.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's get into the specifics here. Like, let's say a company decides they need an SRT. How do they even start building one?
Right.
It can't be as easy as, just hiring a bunch of security guards.
Oh, no, definitely not. You need people with very specific skills.
Like what?
Well, first of all, you need people who can handle crowds, crowd control, de-escalation techniques, all that stuff.
Right, so like keeping things calm.
Exactly. And they also need to have a duck understanding of the law,
Right.
especially labor laws.
So like you know what they can and can't do legally.
Exactly. And get this, one of the sources we looked at specifically mentioned the Railway Labor Act.
Oh.
Yeah. It's apparently a big one for SRTs.
Okay. So it sounds like we're talking about, serious training here.
Oh, absolutely. It's not
Right.
just, a weekend course.
Right. So what kind of backgrounds do these SRT members typically come from?
Well, you often find people with experience in law enforcement or the military.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Or, high-level security roles.
Right, so like people who are used to dealing with, tense situations.
Exactly. But
Yeah.
even with that background, they still go through very intense training. Oh,
Really?
yeah. Specifically tailored to strike situations.
Wow. And what kind of stuff do they focus on in the training?
Well, a lot of it's, tactical stuff,
Yeah.
like how to handle crowds, how to use non-lethal force, how to respond to different scenarios.
Right, but it's not all about, the physical stuff, right?
No, you're absolutely right. There's a huge emphasis on the psychological side of things, too.
Really?
Yeah, these folks need to be able to stay calm under pressure.
Yeah. You can't have someone, freaking out when things get heated. Exactly.
They need to be able to make good decisions even when, things are chaotic.
I bet that's not easy.
Oh, no, it takes a very specific kind of person.
But okay, so we've talked about the training in the background, but here's where it gets really interesting to me.
What's that?
The technology.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm seeing mentions of some seriously high-tech gear being used by SRTs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So like, what kind of stuff are we talking about here?
Well, for starters, drones are becoming increasingly common.
Drones.
Yeah, those unmanned aerial vehicles,
Oh, right.
they use them to monitor the situation from above, like bird's eye view.
And I guess they have cameras on them, right?
Oh, yeah, high definition cameras, sometimes even thermal imaging.
Wow, so they can see everything?
Pretty much, yeah. And they can also use the drones to, communicate with each other.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then you've got facial recognition technology.
Wait, really?
Yeah, they're using that too.
So, like, they can identify people in a crowd?
Exactly. If there are any known troublemakers or people who have been banned from the premises.
Wow, and they can do that in real time.
Yep.
So like they're scanning everyone's faces as they walk by.
Pretty much,
Yeah.
yeah. It's pretty sophisticated stuff.
So is this like, Minority Report level stuff?
Well, not quite pre-crime, but they are using data analytics and predictive policing models
To do what?
to try and anticipate strike activity,
Yeah.
and allocate resources accordingly.
So like they're trying to predict where the trouble spots are going to be.
Exactly. They'll look at historical strike data, employee feedback, industry trends, all that stuff.
And they use that to, figure out where to deploy their SRTs.
Right. It's all about being proactive.
So it's like a chess match, trying to anticipate your opponent's moves. I
Exactly.
bet that takes a lot of planning.
Oh, yeah. Tons of planning.
And I'm guessing they do a lot of simulations and practice drills
Oh,
too.
absolutely.
Like war games, but for strikes?
Yeah, kind of. They'll set up these elaborate scenarios and run through different responses.
I bet that's pretty intense.
Oh, yeah, it can be. And they also do these interdepartmental drills.
What's that?
They bring in people from different parts of the company.
Oh, so it's not just the SRT members.
No, it's about making sure everyone's on the same page.
So, like, if a strike does happen, everyone knows what to do.
Exactly.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, you don't want everyone running around like chickens with their heads cut off.
Right, exactly.
It's all about having a clear plan and sticking to it.
Okay, so we've got this highly trained SRT equipped with all this cutting-edge tech and a company that's, prepped and ready to go, but
What?
they're not operating in a vacuum, right?
Right.
Like, they have to work with the local police.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Collaboration with law enforcement is key.
So how does that work?
Well, they'll coordinate before, during, and after strikes.
To do what?
Well, to share information, coordinate security perimeters, make sure everyone's on the same page.
I bet that can be tricky sometimes.
Oh, yeah, especially when you're dealing with different jurisdictions and protocols.
Right, you've got, city police, county police, state police.
Exactly. And they all have their own ways of doing things.
So navigating all of that must be a huge part of the job.
It is. And it's something that SRTs are, specifically trained for.
So it's not just about, showing up and, flexing their muscles.
No, it's about understanding the complexities of the situation and working within the system.
Yeah. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here, but there's one more thing I want to touch on.
What's that?
The strategic planning that happens well before any strike even begins.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, and it's something we're going to dive into next time.
Sounds good.
Okay, so, we've talked about the training, the tech, coordinating with law enforcement.
Right.
I mean, it's a lot.
It is.
But it sounds like, the real work for these SRTs starts way before, any picket signs go up. So walk me through that. Like, what does that planning process actually look like?
Well, it starts with, gathering intelligence.
Okay.
They'll analyze, past strike data, employee sentiment, industry trends.
To do what?
Well, to identify, potential pressure points.
So, like, where things might get heated?
Exactly. And also, trying to anticipate if a strike is brewing.
So they're not just reacting, they're trying to get ahead of it.
Right. And sometimes, just having that plan in place can be a deterrent.
Really?
Yeah. It signals to the employees that the company is prepared.
So it's like a psychological thing.
Yeah, kind of.
And I'm seeing here that, a good strike management plan has to cover a lot of ground.
Oh, yeah,
It's
absolutely.
not just about security.
Right. It's about, keeping the whole operation running as smoothly as possible.
So, like, what kind of stuff are we talking about?
Well, things like communication strategies, alternative staffing plans, logistics, legal considerations.
Wow, it's like a giant puzzle.
It is.
And the SRT is right in the middle of all that.
Yeah, they need to be able to, think on their feet, adapt to changing situations.
Because I'm sure things rarely go exactly according to plan.
Oh, never.
So let's talk about the financial side of this for a second.
Okay.
Deploying an SRT can't be cheap.
No, it's definitely a significant
But
investment.
like, what kind of costs are we talking about?
Well, salaries, equipment, training, logistics, all that stuff adds up.
Especially if they have to be on standby for, a long time.
Right, exactly.
So companies must have to weigh those costs against, the potential losses from a strike.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, a strike can really disrupt operations.
It can.
Oh, it's a balancing act.
It is. And, it's not just the company that bears the cost.
What do you mean?
Well, if a strike escalates and you need a bigger police presence or even, National Guard involvement, that costs taxpayers money.
Right.
So it's something that, affects everyone.
Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure. Okay, so we've covered the why, the how, the cost of SRTs. But you mentioned earlier that there's another layer to this, something about their potential role beyond strikes.
Right.
So what's that about?
Well, some companies are starting to see SRTs as more of a, versatile asset,
Okay.
like a kind of in-house security force that can be deployed for various situations.
So it's not just about strikes anymore.
Right.
So, like, what kind of situations?
Well, things like executive protection and high-profile events,
Okay.
responding to security threats, handling emergencies.
So, like a SWAT team, but for anything.
Yeah, kind of.
I guess it makes sense in a way. The world feels increasingly uncertain,
It does.
and companies want to be prepared.
Exactly.
But doesn't that raise some questions about, their role and how much power they should have?
It does. And that's something we'll delve into next time.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, so we've talked about, all this training, the tech, the strategy behind these SRTs.
Right.
And it's clear, you know, they're not just, you know, your average security guards.
No, definitely not.
But now, you know, we're talking about this idea of expanding their role.
Right.
Beyond just strikes.
Right.
And that seems like, you know, a whole other can of worms.
It does.
So where do we even begin to unpack that?
Well, I think one of the biggest questions is, you know, oversight.
Oversight.
Yeah, like who's making sure these SRTs are, you know, operating within the law?
Right, because right now, you know, they're mostly operating, you know, within a company.
Right.
Dealing with, you know, a specific labor dispute.
Exactly.
But if they're going to be out in the world, you know, responding to all kinds of situations.
Right.
Shouldn't there be some kind of, you know, external accountability?
That's the debate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, do we treat them like any other private security firm?
Right.
Or is there something about, you know, the nature of their training.
Right.
And the potential for force.
Yeah.
That requires, you know, a different level of scrutiny.
It's almost like we're talking about, you know, two different worlds colliding here.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You've got this traditional world of labor relations.
Right.
And then this, you know, emerging landscape of these private security forces.
Right.
With all this advanced technology.
Exactly. And the lines are definitely blurring.
Yeah. Like we're seeing SRTs using drones, facial recognition, predictive analytics.
Right.
I mean, these are tools that, you know, were once the domain of, you know, law enforcement and intelligence agencies.
Yeah. And that's what I find so fascinating about this whole thing.
Me too.
It's like a massive shift is happening.
Right.
And we're still trying to figure out what it all means.
Yeah, and it's a little unnerving, to be honest.
I agree.
So where do we go from here?
Well, I think the conversation needs to broaden.
Beyond just the companies and the workers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that affects everyone.
Right.
So we need to be talking about, you know, public awareness, community input.
Right.
Maybe even some kind of regulatory framework.
So it's not just about what happens, you know, behind closed doors during a strike.
No, it's about, you know, having a societal conversation.
About the role these, you know, private security forces should play.
Exactly.
Like in our world.
And that conversation needs to be happening now.
Right.
You know, while we're still in the early stages of this.
Before it's too late.
Right, because the decisions we make today.
Yeah.
Are going to have, you know, a ripple effect for years to come.
Well, you know, I'm walking away from this deep dive.
Yeah.
With a lot more questions than answers.
Yeah, that's often the case with these complex issues.
It is.
You know, the more you learn, the more you realize how much more there is to discover.
So true. So to our listener out there, you know, we encourage you to keep digging into this topic.
Yeah. Read more, ask questions.
And most importantly, you know, think critically about the implications of all of this.
Right. Because the future of work.
Yeah.
And the role of security in that future
yeah.
is something we all have a stake in.
Couldn't have said it better myself.